The views and opinions expressed in this podcast, including discussions of findings and devices, belong solely to the host, subject matter experts, and guests. The information presented reflects our understanding at the time of recording. Please note that updated facts or perspectives might have emerged since this episode's production. These discussions should not be interpreted as representing the official position, policy, decision, or endorsement of the Department of Defense. Guests of Picking Your Brain are government employees unless specified otherwise. Welcome to the Picking Your Brain podcast from the Traumatic Brain Injury Center of Excellence, or TBICOE. This is the second of a two-part series exploring the Improving Healthcare Engagement and Access to Optimizing Long-Term Outcomes Study, or IHEAL. If you haven't listened to episode one yet, you might want to go back and do that to get the full context of this important study. But to quickly recap, the IHEAL study addresses barriers that individuals with traumatic brain injuries face in accessing high-quality, evidence-based healthcare. The study builds upon previous research that indicated that the greater the disability from a TBI, the worse the health outcomes, including higher mortality rates and an increased likelihood of rehospitalization. The study is led by the Associate Chief of Staff for Research at the VA's James A. Haley Veterans Hospital, Dr. Risa Richardson. The aim of the IHEAL study is to develop healthcare innovations that can overcome these barriers to access and improve outcomes for service members and veterans affected by TBI.
It was a right side impact, but a left brain injury. So his brain was slammed up against the left side.
This is Jill Coulter.
The longtime wife, 42 years of Joseph Coulter. My main role is being his caregiver and support and wife.
Mr. Coulter, or Pepper, as most people call him, served just shy of 21 years in the U.S. Navy as a navigator on an anti-submarine aircraft before retiring in 2000. 10 years later, on a typical Saturday morning in August, Pepper had an accident that caused severe traumatic brain injury. For context, severe TBI accounts for only 1% of the nearly 500,000 TBIs sustained by active duty service members and tracked by the Department of Defense. Jill remembers it well.
He was trimming some of our palm trees. He was on a ladder and he fell off and hit the pool pavers. He had gone outside to do the work around 9. I went out about 10 o'clock to see where he was, because often we would do the errands together and maybe grab lunch.
Instead, that moment marked the beginning of a journey down a path neither could have foreseen.
I found him down on the ground. We don't know how long he was down. The ladder was still up. The clippers were still in the tree. And he has no memory of the injury.
But Jill recalls vividly the injuries she saw, including a bulging eye and bleeding ear. Doctors didn't know whether he would be able to use either again. His impaired vision and hearing made it harder to diagnose the injuries that couldn't be seen.
With a brain injury and hearing and sight, you need to be able to respond. He was not in a situation where he could respond. It took us almost 20 months before we could truly see where his sight was and where his hearing was.
Tests revealed short-term memory problems, double vision, trouble recalling words and speaking them, or a lot of Dr. Seuss words, as Jill put it, and cognitive processing issues that were originally diagnosed as hearing loss.
We would go into a noisy restaurant, or we would go somewhere in a crowd, and he couldn't hear anything. And he realized that he could hear, he just can't process all the information fast enough, and it all becomes white noise.
Jill Coulter's story of caring for her husband Pepper underscores just how important the work of the IHEAL study is. In this episode, we'll continue to hear more of the story and take a closer look at how the work being done by the IHEAL team addresses the barriers that people with injuries similar to Pepper's often experience. Hearing the real-world challenges faced by TBI patients and their loved ones provides essential context for understanding the 4 innovations that the IHEAL team is developing. The first one, designed to help those with significant cognitive impairments, would alert providers that their patient might need help understanding and managing a treatment plan. Because of HIPAA regulations, which ensure that patients' health information isn't disclosed without their knowledge or consent, providers wouldn't routinely invite a patient's loved one into the appointment. The lack of a care partner in the room with the patient proved to be a barrier to a positive health outcome. Recognizing this critical gap, the iHeal team is taking proactive steps to help bridge the divide between policy limitations and patient support needs. Here is neuropsychologist and iHeal principal investigator, Dr. Risa Richardson, to explain.
So the first one, we call it our cognitive nudge. And a nudge intervention is a strategy that's used to cue somebody to do a very specific action. So we are designing an electronic medical record flag, in other words, an indicator when an EMR is open that tells a provider that the person you're about to see has a cognitive disability and they're going to need help in this healthcare appointment. They're more likely to be at risk for forgetting to be compliant with their medications or their healthcare regimen. So they need a healthcare proxy. But there's really not a good way to make that visible to doctors and nurses.
Jill has seen firsthand how TBI can affect memory and cognitive processing, as well as the significant challenges to everyday tasks that often follow. People with TBI often have trouble remembering their treatment plans and appointments.
With the short-term memory issues, by the time he struggled through reading a page, he forgot what he was reading. I go to all my husband's appointments, but not everybody has that. Even if they have an active spouse, a lot of spouses are working and don't have that time. If you gave somebody with short-term memory loss a medical program, little details might get lost.
Again, here's Dr. Richardson.
So we're going to be interacting with a lot of groups to help with future implementation of the nudge. All we're doing at this point is interacting with end users and developing these products.
These end users are vital to the success of the iHeal study. They are organized into three distinct groups: a lived experience group consisting of 10 service members and veterans with TBI and their family members, a professional engagement partner group made up of various federal agencies and professional societies representing a range of rehabilitation disciplines, and individual engagement partners whose experience is tailored to the specific needs of the study's four individual projects, or innovations, as the research team refers to them. Jill is a part of the lived experience group, which meets regularly with the study's leadership team to share feedback on the innovations proposed in the study. When the cognitive nudge idea was presented to the group, she says one group member drew on her experience accompanying her husband to his appointments. The woman said,
I go to these appointments and the poor nurses have to ask so many questions. Where would the nudge fit? When we meet with the professional group, we'll talk about, okay, how can we initiate this and have it be functional and not in an overwhelmed medical environment?
In addition to the cognitive challenges that often come with the TBI, says Dr. Richardson, patients may face other comorbid conditions, including chronic pain, PTSD, and sleep disorders. The second innovation will focus on helping providers adapt therapies for these conditions to patients with TBI.
There are evidence-based treatments for those comorbid conditions, but what we're learning increasingly is that people with TBI, and if they have a disability, are not getting referred for those services. And when they do get referred, a provider doesn't know what to do differently to work with someone with a cognitive disability. And the guidelines that are out there, you know, talks about really tailoring treatment to someone's disability.
The guidelines Dr. Richardson refers to are from Division 22 of the American Psychological Association. This group brings together specialists who focus on the psychological aspects of disability and rehabilitation. Their goal is to help the public understand these issues better and to ensure that psychologists working in the field meet the highest standards and follow the best practices.
But again, until we teach providers what to do differently so that a person maximally engages in that evidence-based treatment so that they can experience high-quality healthcare, it's not going to happen. So Project 2 is doing an environmental scan of what has been done out in the field.
This will identify existing resources that fall into three broad categories. First, tools for assessing cognitive difficulties. Second, General information on therapy adaptations, such as how to include caregivers in the care plan. And third, manuals that include adaptations of existing evidence-based treatments. Afterwards, says Dr. Richardson, the team will be
compiling them all into a toolkit for those common comorbid conditions so that providers have access to resources.
The third innovation is similar to the second, but focuses on patient behavior instead of comorbid conditions. In 2016, a systematic review of published research found that between 44 and 74% of those with moderate to severe TBI act in ways that impact their access and quality of healthcare. Agitation, aggression, irritability, and apathy are the most common challenges. By focusing on evidence-based behavior management, Project 3 seeks to decrease the reliance on pharmacological restraints, that is, sedatives, and increase access to rehabilitation services.
Number three is our project aimed at developing team capacity for managing behavioral challenges after brain injury. We've done a lot of work to show that behavioral changes are some of the most impactful in terms of quality of life and outcomes for patients and loved ones. And we recently completed a national survey showing that providers often won't refer or programs won't accept patients with behavioral challenges into rehabilitation programs.
The goal of this project is to develop and disseminate a team-based behavioral interventions playbook to help rehab providers address behavioral disturbances that follow TBI. Many providers resort to sedating medications that can hinder cognitive recovery, despite available non-drug treatments that can effectively promote positive behaviors.
And so we will be developing a comprehensive package of materials to train providers in using evidence-based behavior management and how to deploy that training for the field. And when they are in rehabilitation programs, providers often don't know what to do differently to interact with them. There are evidence-based treatments for managing challenging behaviors, but often the providers are not trained in them, they don't know how to use them, and there aren't policies that drive using that evidence-based care.
The challenges of navigating virtual healthcare for those with TBI are often overlooked. While telehealth services have become increasingly widespread, individuals with cognitive impairments can face significant barriers to utilizing this technology effectively. Recognizing this critical gap, the iHeal Study's fourth and final project aims to generate data-driven recommendations to adapt virtual healthcare mandates that accommodate the unique needs of the TBI community.
In terms of virtual health and telehealth, people with disabilities really struggled with the technology. And so we're going to look at how people adapted and responded to make telehealth or virtual health accessible.
It's common for those who have suffered a TBI to need additional assistance with technology due to cognitive impairments. These could include difficulty regulating their behavior, obstacles in accessing resources, trouble communicating, struggles with decision-making and planning, and a sensitivity to sensory input.
Some of our policy stakeholders came to us early on and said, you know, there are virtual healthcare mandates, and they're universal, meaning that everybody's supposed to have access to them. But maybe some people shouldn't. Maybe some people need in-person healthcare, and certainly with COVID, people saw that. So in sum, our four projects are aimed at provider interventions. We're looking at team interventions. We're looking at systems interventions and policy interventions that are designed to improve access to care for some of the common problems that people with TBI and disability experience.
Over the past two episodes, we learned about the iHeal Study's work to improve healthcare for those with TBI. The proposed innovations in the study aim to help providers understand patients' cognitive needs, adapt therapies for common TBI-related health issues, provide team-based behavioral interventions, and make virtual healthcare more accessible. Dr. Richardson and her team work with various groups, including those with lived experience, to improve long-term outcomes for the TBI community. The involvement of TBI COE and the greater DOD demonstrates a commitment to improving rehabilitative care and the quality of life for service members and veterans.
What I hope is that any barriers to great healthcare for those who have traumatic brain injuries will be shattered. I hope that we look at a brain injury as a continual lifetime condition where we need follow-up cognitive checks. Most of the medical people I've met want to give good service, and I want, you know, I want them to have the tools to provide the absolute best care, because these men and women deserve it. Because the truth is, somebody's going to get a brain injury today.
Picking Your Brain is a podcast series from the Traumatic Brain Injury Center of Excellence, or TBICOE, that focuses on the care and recovery of service members and veterans who have sustained a TBI. This episode was produced, edited, and hosted by me, Vinnie White, and was written by me and Susie Curry. We are both contractors working in support of TBICOE.